Hello, everybody, and welcome to Season 2, Episode 5 of Rift Happens. We are a Coach Rivals podcast focusing on League of Legends. As usual, I'm Justin here, carrying on the hosting duties. And we have a brand new face joining us, as you can see over to this side, if you're watching on stream. We have Coach Warren here, one of the coaches from our Coach Rivals community, straight out of Kentucky. Warren, thank you so much for being here.
Hey, it's good to be here. Enjoy listening to the podcast, so it's really nice to be actually get to be part of it.
Yeah, that's awesome. And we love having coaches on here that have experience with coaching League of Legends. at least recently. I've been out of the game for a while, but give us some of your experience with coaching League, especially at the high school level.
Well, we started first year of play versus with League and Rocket League. And back then we had a Smite team. I kind of gravitated toward League just because of the complexity. And I kind of like that idea of the challenge of having to build team comps and everything like that. But quickly learned that my team knew a whole lot more about it than me. But in fact, during practices, if they were goofing off and not trying really hard, I said, all right, if you don't start working, I'm going to join on your team. And they would do anything to avoid that. So, it's a challenge every week because the meta changes so much. Mm-hmm. You get a new patch and it can totally change what your team composition is. So you've got to always be on top of it and always kind of keeping an ear out to find out what's current. So in
your experience with, you know, working with the high school students and coaching League of Legends, would you say that all the members, all the student players that you would have on the team had more experience with the game than you do?
I would say all but probably three. Last year, I had enough for two teams. Okay. And I had one team that they were super experienced. They've been playing for years. Some of them had even been playing together for years. Then I had another team that was, I had a kid come in that wanted to try out for League of Legends because her friend was on the team. Mm-hmm. And she had to sit down and do the tutorial before we could even put her in and get her started. So I was happy there because I was like, oh, finally, there's somebody here that I know more than. But one of the things that I've been really impressed with the high school kids, even the ones that don't come from a League background, is how quickly they work and try to pick up on it. Mm-hmm. So, but I think the ones that start off not knowing as much as me have learned it a whole lot quicker than I've been able to, because they're able to put a whole lot more time in it than I was able to start with.
Yeah, the joys of not being an adult
and
having a ton of responsibility. Well, cool. All right. Well, we are going to go ahead and get into some of our topics that we have today. We have two big topics for everybody. One, we're going to be talking about the kind of fresh developments in the meta. And I'm glad that you mentioned meta too, which is a big word. It's a small word. It's only four letters, but there's so much encompassed in that coaches, whether they're, you know, extremely experienced and have like these insane mechanics in the game or not, they can still understand meta. And it's one of the things that's really, that's powerful, and it gives a lot of control may not be the right word, but it gives some credibility to the coaches, especially the ones that don't play the game all the time. If they understand meta and some of those picks and how the game gets played, even from like an analytical standpoint, that gives them kind of a leg up, and it helps them, kind of coach their teams, even though they might not be, you know, as mechanically gifted or have that solo queue rank up there like their players do. But one of the things that we've seen recently in the meta is enchanters have this massive boom of enchanters showing up, and probably the most, I'm going to use egregious here, but probably one of the most egregious uses of enchanters is them showing up in the top lane and taking Smite and just completely shifting how League of Legends has been played recently. We just had a patch where they're, you know, trying to nerf some of that and change it. But even when we don't consider the top lane and champions like Janna, Smite going top, we've still seen Ivern mid. We saw Ivern mid in the LCS. We've seen Soraka mid. We've seen Sona mid twice in LEC. We've seen another Soraka pick that I believe was support in LCS. So we're starting to see all of these enchanters pop up. Warren, when you were working with your League of Legends players, did you feel like it was more they wanted to play what they wanted to play? Or did they look at things like this and see, okay, we want to try that too?
For the most part, I had to really kind of push them if I wanted to do something that was a little bit more meta, or even if I wanted to do something that was way off meta. Mm-hmm. I had to kind of encourage them. They had their set champ pool, and they're kind of like, yeah, I want to play. I had a kid who all he wanted to play was Pyke support. Mm-hmm. And he was great at it. He did some fabulous plays as Pyke support. We lost most of our games because it didn't fit in with the rest of the team. Mm-hmm. He was doing great for his stats, but it wasn't helping anybody else. We didn't get a chance to talk a whole lot about the enchanters meta before my team unfortunately imploded. But yeah, I think that is kind of something that I like doing, and I tried to kind of encourage them to think creatively and kind of bust the meta a little bit. So I think after experimenting with it a little bit, we'd have probably been running a couple of, I don't know if our top laner would have ever run an enchanter, but I could see us doing an Ivern mid or something like that.
All right, so you kind of hinted at something I was thinking, but so why do you think your top laner would never run an enchanter top?
He's a very traditional tanky. He's very traditional top lane. Mm-hmm. He doesn't want to pay attention to anybody else. He doesn't want to look at the mini map until late game and stuff like that. He was a solid top laner. I never had to worry about whether top lane was in trouble, or anything like that. But he's a very traditional top lane player. Mm-hmm. So I don't think he'd have broken meta that big.
Yeah, and the stereotype with top lane is it's an island, and you pretty much just go up there and you. Just wail on the other top laner. Yeah, you do your thing, and then at about 20 minutes in, you're like, okay, let's go see what's happening on the other side of the map.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I kind of feel the same way. Like, I haven't had a League of Legends team for years. But even then, it's kind of a similar situation like you express, that my players had their champion pool, and they had the style that they wanted to play. Like, I had my mid laner only wanted to play like really flashy champions. You mentioned your support wanted to play Pyke. Mine wanted to play Yasuo or Katarina or just, you know, Zed, all these assassins. So if I ever came in and say, hey, wild idea here, we're going to play Soraka mid, so you're just going to sit mid and be a heal bot for everybody else in the game, I really don't think that would have gone over very well.
Yeah.
I think there's like almost like an ego thing there, and they want to, obviously they want to play a playstyle that's fun for them, but I think it's very, I guess it's difficult, and maybe that's a conversation that's tough for us to have with the players, and that there's a difference between I'm playing this to have fun or I'm playing this to win. And in competitive esports, sometimes that's a fine line, especially at the high school level where a lot of these kids, this is the first organized team they've ever been a part of, and we're trying to enforce soft skills. But at the same time, if I win, then that's good for, you know, my administration likes that, and maybe I can get more support from my school, all that stuff. So the competitive side of us wants to win, but we also want the kids to have fun. Like, how do you balance that?
Yeah, it's hard to balance. And this year when I was trying to recruit a Rocket League team, even, there's kids out there that play the games. Mm-hmm. And there's kids out there that are good at it. But if the perception is, well, the esports team here isn't real good, they don't want to be part of it. Mm-hmm. And so there are kids in the school that play League of Legends that are highly ranked that would never come down and be a part of the team because they're watching the team get beat by teams that honestly outranked us by several degrees of magnitude. Mm-hmm. So if you can set something up where you're going to win, that's kind of what the coach wants to do, definitely. But the kids want to have fun.
Yeah. And that's gotta be a tough balance. And we were talking about, you mentioned your top laner only wanted to play, traditional tanks and things of that nature. I saw a quote recently from, it was from Hooney, who is he's been a professional top laner in League of Legends for years. He was on SKT. Then he was on Fnatic. Now he's on TSM, but they have a quote for him recently because the past 2 weeks of LCS, he's been playing in professional League of Legends. He's been playing these top lane enchanter picks, like a top Smite Lulu or Smite Karma or something. But I found this quote from him that he gave just a couple days ago that said, when he does that, he's thinking about the game. It's making him think about the game on like this higher level. And he's thinking about it more than other players because he's, trying this strategy that is so far, different than what is traditional. And I think that's tough because he says that, but at the same time, if I have an angsty teenager look at these champions here, he's like, I want to play this unicorn that's throwing bananas at people or, this big tree man walking around.
Yeah.
So that definitely could be a really tough sell, but they're definitely popular right now. Like I said, not just in the top lane, but also in the mid lane. And one of the things that makes enchanters really strong is their utility. Even if they don't have to win lane, they just have to really just survive. And if you're playing something like a Pyke, and Pyke doesn't get rolling ahead, kind of fast and quickly and start snowballing, then he doesn't feel as useful later on. Whereas with a champion like Soraka can play safe in the mid lane. And then, once, team fights start breaking out, she becomes extremely useful, whether she's ahead or not, because there's just so much utility that she brings. So I think there's a lot to be said for the meta shifting here and bringing in these enchanters. But definitely not everybody's used to it yet, but I think we're going to see more of it before they go away. That's for sure.
Yeah. And one of the things I always try to tell my kids is sometimes that it's just fun to play something that's not meta just to mess with the other team. Mm-hmm. And I think that if you're going to try to get your kids to do something like the enchanters, that's probably how you'd have to sell it.
Yeah. So, and it could give you an edge too, right? Cause if they've never played into it, they
don't know.
Right. Exactly. Yeah,
they don't know how to counter it. I've got one kid, that was bugging me to death to play Heimerdinger support. And I'm like, yeah, I don't think so.
You got to draw the line somewhere.
Yeah. There's just some lines you should not cross.
For sure. All right. Awesome. Well, let's get into our listener responses. Let's get into our second topic of season 2, episode 5. We asked our listeners to give us their thoughts on the resources that they use to prepare for a match coming up for League of Legends. So I'm a touch on a hot topic right now, and I probably shouldn't, but I am going to just a second. There was recently a rules clarification from PlayVersus, which is one of the leagues that our high school teams across the country play in. But they made a rules clarification that roles going into a match aren't set in stone. And even if your players line up in champ select a particular way, it doesn't necessarily mean that they have to go in those roles, which in previous seasons, Warren, you can correct me if I'm wrong, even just last season, how y'all played, whenever you went into champ select, did you have to line up the top jungle, mid, bot, support?
Yep, absolutely. And there were a couple of times that we got things mix around, and we had to actually leave and then go back in the right order, because if the way that I understood the rules, and I think the way most of the coaches read the rules, if you entered in not in the right order, it could be a forfeit.
Okay.
So yeah, this was a huge change.
Yeah. So it's big, and it's controversial. And I don't want to get too well. Maybe I'm one of the few that's stirring the pot a little bit. But maybe one day I'll bring Rubiel on here, and he and I can hash it out here. he and I went back and forth in the trials. Yeah, we'll have a cage fight, Rubiel. I'm throwing the gauntlet down in the next coming weeks. We can hammer it out on here. But with that rule coming through, that does throw an extra wrinkle into how you prepare as far as like scouting is concerned. Right. And, you know, scouting always like a big part. I always enjoyed scouting for League of Legends. That was like an extra, like a mini game that I enjoyed for like prepping for a match. Like, cause obviously I don't get to play in the match. I don't get to compete in the match. That would be fun for me. So one of the things that was fun for me, since I couldn't compete, would be to help with the prep and do the scouting and theory craft and all that stuff. And now with this rule change, that scouting is going to be very different now, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Especially like we were talking about with the enchanters going top lane. You can't say, well, this guy plays Janna, so he's going to be support. He's going to be bot. You don't know. So it's a little bit more of a challenging. That's always been my favorite part too, with it's almost like a chess match. Mm-hmm. Well, this guy, their top lane likes to play set all the time. So what do we have? Do we have something that can counter set, or do we ban set and stuff like that? So yeah, it's going to make things interesting this year for coaches.
Yeah, I'm going to quietly sit on the sidelines and watch them figure out how to navigate this season with those changes. But our question this week to our listeners was an attempt to try to get some thought processing going and some ideas, which was what resources we're thinking, like websites, apps, etc., and information do our coaches consider? What do they use and consider when they're scouting their League of Legends opponents? So the scenario is it's Monday morning. You log in to your tournament organizer's platform and you find out who your opponent is for this week. You get their League of Legends summoner names. What do you do with them? So this is what our coaches had to say. Mr. Hernandez teaches out of San Antonio. He said that Mobalytics is my go-to. It offers insights into opponents, and I can say which player wards poorly or plays aggressively. Now, I will say before we get further into this, none of this is sponsored, by the way. We're going to be talking about platforms and apps that coaches use. We are not sponsored by any of these. We're going to say great things about them, but we're not getting any sort of kickback for sure.
Yet.
Yeah. The future, the future is unknown, but you know, it may change there. But yeah, so Mr. Hernandez teaches Mobalytics. And Warren, I think you mentioned Mobalytics too. So we'll and I actually mentioned Mobalytics as well. So we'll see Mobalytics a little bit more when we get to like our own personal picks. But Mobalytics, definitely a popular website. I'm sure a lot of people are familiar with it. We'll talk a little bit about those as we get further ahead. All right, Coach, you want to take the next one?
Yeah. Second question is from Pathfinder down in Texas. And they're using op.gg and Mobalytics and u.gg.
Yeah, so we have another Mobalytics. Op.gg is one of kind of the OG scouting tools that a lot of people use. I recently started using u.gg because I found it quicker for like my browser. I can hit u.gg space and then whatever champion I want to play and, you know, quickly get the rune layouts and stuff like that. But I found that all these tools too also kind of have their own tier list. So if you really want to get like a good indication or a good read on everything, you almost have to use all of them.
Yeah.
You know, not one in particular.
Yeah.
All right. Next response comes from Rogue Otters out of Rhode Island. He has a typo here. I wish I could screenshot it real quick and put it in there. He doesn't use Mobalytics. He uses Monalyrics and op.gg. Surely he meant Mobalytics. So that's 3 for 3 on Mobalytics. That's what we've got so far. Out of 3 responses, 3 for Mobalytics. Also another op.gg. And Coach Warren hit us with that last one.
Okay, the last one is from Aaron or Aiden in Colorado. And op.gg, Mobalytics, and League of Graphs. And he says, I mostly look at the types of champions my opponents specialize in so that we know what kind of play to expect. OTPs are always good to spot as well.
Very cool. Yeah, so the first appearance of League of Graphs there.
Yeah, I'd heard people talking about League of Graphs, and I just looked at it probably 3 or 4 weeks ago, and a lot of good information I liked on League of Graphs.
Well, let's talk about more information you like. We're going to run into our selections. So I did throw Warren, I tasked him this week since he's stepping up to be on the podcast with him. I said, all right, here's your chance. I need to know everything that you would use, everything you consider. What is it when you're preparing for a match or preparing your players? What are the resources that you use and that you look at in order to prepare as far as like scouting wise? So Warren, take it away.
Okay. My first is op.gg. Usually when I get my opponent, the first thing that I do is open that up and I copy and paste their whole roster so that I can see them side by side. And I'll have my extra monitor with that. And then I'll have the Discord with my team so that I can let them know, hey, this is what we've got going, what we're facing this time. That's a good place where I like to start. I do use Mobalytics. That seems to be almost everybody's go-to, really. It gives me a little bit more information. It gives me different type of information. I like their tier lists. I like their build guides. They've got the champ counters so that if I've got somebody that we've never faced before, I can start looking at that and saying, okay, well, I've got somebody that plays this champion that counters them. We need to make sure that we get that champion. I've got Purofessor on the gaming computers that we use. And that gives us a really good idea, not only about the opponent, but about ourselves. Mm-hmm. A lot of my kids were having contests like, what do you mean I'm a lousy warder? And things like that at the end of games when they would see what Purofessor says about them. But I like that. I like the fact that, especially in practices, if they're trying a new rune build or something like that, or they're trying to change the way they play a certain champion, or they're trying to play a new champion, you get something like Purofessor, or I think Blitz does the same thing, where you can actually push runes into the league client.
Okay.
So that you can use that and kind of get an idea and then tweak for your own play style. But anything that I can get more information. And I like the way Purofessor is set up. I like the way that it presents all the information. I didn't put League of Graphs on here because I ran out of room and I ran out of time. I didn't think about it. But League of Graphs has actually got some good information on there too, especially when you're trying, if you're looking for custom games. Not all of them, not everything will show you the custom games.
Okay.
And when I was on League of Graphs, it did. So that's a big help.
Oh, okay. So I didn't know that, because I know like if you look up op.gg or even Mobalytics, those custom games don't show up. Used to, the only way that I could pull up like previous custom games was through the old League of Legends match history that was on the web, like Riot's, like the League of Legends actual website. And then they, this was probably 6 months ago or so, they announced that they were doing away with that site, and they're directing everybody to sites like this, op.gg, Mobalytics, you know, League of Graphs. So Porofessor is the app that you install, and so it's running at the same time that the kids are on the computer.
Yeah. And so that you kind of have to be careful. You have to make sure that you've got the resources on the computer to be able to run it. Mm-hmm. But thankfully, when we started this, I was able, since I'm the IT staff, I was able to talk my boss into coming up with some money for actual gaming rigs. So
yeah,
we're pretty set up as far as that goes. But if you've got, not quite as powerful computer, you might have a problem running Porofessor in the background.
Yeah.
But it helps a lot, and especially with practice, it's giving you feedback and everything like that. So it's got advantages even beyond scouting.
And I like what you really mentioned too, how the kids, because one of the things, because I did look at this, I did take a sneak peek at the slide deck before we went live, and I read this, and one of the things that stuck out to me too is that when a lot of times when we talk about scouting, it is about the opponent, you know, and what are we looking at from them. But when you mention Porofessor, you're saying that they run the app, they get a lot of information, not only about the competition, but also themselves, and being able to almost set their own little, I guess, achievable little goals, you know, to go for. You know, I'm a poor warder, and as you mentioned, what do you mean? You know, or I didn't buy my first control ward until, you know, 8 minutes. I think that may be underrated. You know, that so something like that be really cool for other coaches to consider.
Yeah, and when you're in the game, a lot of times you don't realize that. Mm-hmm. You're not thinking about that necessarily, and it kind of helps get you into the mindset of I need to be warding. I need to be buying control wards now. I need to be doing this stuff. So that kind of helped my team out quite a bit.
This is like slightly off topic, but did you get any like kickback from installing that on the computers? You know, knowing that we're on a school network and things of that nature. I know coaches everywhere, everybody's IT department is different. But how tough of a sell was it?
I sat down on the computers and installed it. that's the advantage of me being on the IT staff.
Yeah.
I got the permissions to be able to do stuff. And I figure, like the old saying, it's easier to ask forgiveness than permission.
All right. We'll strike that from the podcast. We'll go back and edit that part out before. So is there anything that you would say that's like in that app? If any of our coaches are listening right now and maybe they're considering, I think that's something cool that we want to add to our computers too. Is there anything that you would see in that maybe could be a hang up for them? Or do you say it's pretty much smooth sailing? Or do they run ads and all that kind of stuff?
There are little pop-ups down in the bottom that run little videos every so often, but I haven't had a problem. And my, the system admin has never brought anything up that it was causing a problem. We've checked it with privacy issues and things like that. And so far we've been good with having it on the computers. And I've always told the kids, if it starts to make things run slow, if you're getting things that are too pop-up-y and stuff like that, uninstall it.
Right.
And we can always do something else. But we haven't had any issues.
Okay, awesome. We have Smithfield High Esports in the chat was mentioning, he mentioned Face Check being a program to push runes, items, and summoners too. So I think you also mentioned Blitz.gg. So there's several out there. So I would encourage to, especially for the players that are learning, that there's the rune system is a little... I say a little, it's definitely robust. And I like the rune system in the sense that once you get a firm grasp on the rune system, you can change them to your liking and kind of change the play style of whatever champion you're playing.
Yeah.
You know, you want to go more bursty, you go electrocute. You want a little more sustain for like, you know, long drawn out fights, you go conquer. You want to go more tanky, you go aftershock. And there's just all these different styles you can play, and you can experiment a little bit, but... you know, you mentioned you have these new players coming in that have to play the tutorial before they can sit in and play with everybody. And then it's like, well, they don't know it. You know, they have no clue. And I like systems like this. I'm glad you brought it up, that they could just push those things out and not have to stress about that just yet. You know, that could be something they can pick up later for sure. But, you know, for the time being, while they're trying to learn, get an idea of what, you know, has the highest win rate, what people play that seems to be the most efficient, and just kind of adapt from there, and then try to, you know, try to be more creative later on.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. So, we'll get into my picks, and I did choose Mobalytics. So we are saying a lot of Mobalytics here, and we even had KCD Esports in chat telling Mobalytics to reach out to Cooper at Coach Rivals if they want to throw us some sponsorship money. We're really promoting Mobalytics here, but I really liked Mobalytics. I used to use nothing but OP.GG for a long time, and then I got to a point where I started kind of branching out, and I found Mobalytics offered some really cool stats that I like to look at, especially when you go to, you look up an individual player and you go to what they list as their champion pool. And from what I could tell on there, the champion pool stats shows their picks from the past 30 days. So it shows what they've played within the past month. But one of the stats that I always look at is kill participation percentage. So one of those stats tell me how hard of a carry is this player. You know, if I look at the opponent, the enemy team that we're going to be going against, and they have a Zed player in the mid lane, that may strike fear instantly into the heart of my mid laner. But if I'm looking at their KP percentage, I'm like, well, you know, he doesn't really do a whole lot there. He's not roaming a lot. He's not, you know, he's not in a lot of the kills. He's not much of a team player. You know, he's not participating in all that. That could maybe assuage some of those fears. So I like looking at KP percentage, and I see that on Mobalytics. I'm sure it's on some other sites, but that's where I see it first, and I like how they group it into their tab that says champion pool. So I usually run with that one. This one, I'm surprised nobody said. I love this next website, and I've used it for years, mostly for like personal tracking, but it's championmastery.gg. I think this is like the coolest site for not only tracking my own progress for Champion Mastery, but I like using it to try to find those potential pocket picks that players could come out with. And I think this website, for any coaches listening that are stuck in this thing where you don't know what role the opponent's going to be going into, I think this could be a great website for y'all, especially because it's going to give you their mastery level. It's going to read their mastery level for all the champions on their account. And I don't know of any other website that you can do this. I could be mistaken. This might be the only one, but it may not be. But you can go to championmastery.gg, type in their summoner name, and it's going to give you, starting at the top, which champions they have Mastery 7 on, and then count it all the way down. So you'll be able to see their mastery level for every single champion they've ever played in the game. Now, how I think this is going to be useful is, like Warren was saying, you see this player that could, you know, he's listed as a top laner. And if you check his recent games, there's no Janna top in there at all. Like, he hasn't played it at all. But if you dig enough and you look in his champion mastery, you may see that a year and a half ago he was a support main and he's actually a mastery 7 Janna. So for me, I look at stuff like that, like, these are pocket picks. Just because a kid hasn't pulled out that champion and played it within the past month doesn't mean that they can't just on a whim say, yeah, let me go back to that champion because I played it so much before. So I think championmastery.gg is a really cool site. I would encourage everybody to check that one out. And then finally, I use the League of Legends client itself to do scouting, because if you're not friends with somebody, you can still look up their profile. You would go to your profile section in the client, and then there's a search tool or a search bar in the upper right-hand corner, and you can search them up. When you look up other players, even if you're not friends with them, anytime they've played ranked, you can download that replay and watch it. And the ones in particular that I look for are flex queue replays. So they're playing like ranked five flex. Warren, did your players ever do that? Play ranked together as a big group?
No. No. I think the three that I had that were totally in it and were working together, I think they played some flex together, mm-hmm. but not very often.
So it does allow you, basically anytime you play ranked, your replays are free for anybody to download and play as long as it's on the same patch. So I will say this, it can work in your favor to scout other teams who do have players that are playing ranked flex together as a team. But that does mean for us, if you want your ranked flex to stay hidden, then tell them not to play it on those accounts and create, you know, secondary accounts for competition.
Yeah.
But one of the things I look at too, not only do I pull up those replays, but I'm looking for like warding habits. You know, not only do I know like that they don't ward very much, but I can actually see where they ward because I'm able to pull up those replays. I look at how do they watch their jungle ramps for level one. And so we kind of brainstorm some level one strats. So that's kind of my third resource there. And Cartera, one of our coaches in the Discord, she pointed out too that she uses op.gg to, you know, try in the off chance, try to catch those players in a live game, because from op.gg, if you look up a player they're in a live game right then, you can pull up a spectate from their site. So another really cool resource there for them. But yeah, those are mine. Have you ever used championmastery.gg?
I have never heard of championmastery.gg until this very moment. Perfect. And I actually pulled it up while you were talking about it, and it does have some really good information.
Yeah, it's so pretty cool. I like to use it to look myself up, not because I'm vain, but because I am constantly chasing more Mastery 7s on Champions because I play this game way too stinking much. But I'll pull up and I'll be like, all right, how close am I to getting Mastery 7 on this particular champion? Or I'll count how many Mastery 7s I have. It's also a way for you to go in there and quickly see which champions you've gotten a chest on already, which ones you haven't. So for those of you that are chasing loot, it's another, you know, kind of way to do that without actually being in client. Because sometimes I'm not at my computer to pull up the client and I'm just curious. So I'll pull it up on my phone or something and look. But yeah, any closing remarks for any other scouting tools that you use, Warren, that were particularly useful with you and your players?
One of the things that I started doing last spring, I just kept a spreadsheet with stats from each of the teams that we played.
Mm-hmm.
And ourselves, just KDA, kill participation, and things like that. And that kind of gave me something that was kind of ongoing,
mm-hmm.
so that I knew, and I would just kind of put little notes down at the bottom of the spreadsheet after the game, like so-and-so didn't ward very much. This team invaded bot side at the beginning and stuff like that, to kind of remind myself, because when you're in a state league like that, you're going to be playing the same people over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
And that can always help out too. So that was something that I started doing, kind of accumulating my own information on them.
So. Yeah, that's a good point, because everything that we had that was submitted here, even from our coaches that participated through listener feedback, and even you and I, it was all like these external resources, but you're developing your own there. Do you just do that through like Google Sheets or Excel?
Yeah. Yeah. I set up a Google Sheets. I shared it with my team,
mm-hmm.
so that they could kind of see that way. If they wanted to take a look at who we were playing next, I would try to have that ready as soon as I got the information, and we could discuss and things like that. And it worked pretty well. You start spotting some tendencies among players and things like that are beyond what they may have just in solo queue.
Right. For sure. All right. So I'm going to ask you possibly an incriminating question here. So, have you ever shared that data that you have, maybe from playing a particular team, with another team in your state, if you knew they were going up against that same opponent?
I don't think that I have, just because in the instance it happened once that I knew somebody was going up against somebody that we had just played. And yeah, in fact, it was KCD.
My mind was there. My mind was thinking KCD.
That was, and I had already scouted them, and I sent Danielle a message and said, "Hey, this is what I've got. Are you interested?" She already knew everything that I knew, so it was kind of like, okay, well, at least I know that I'm getting the right stuff. but yet I'm willing to, I'll put it that way, whether or not it's necessary or constructive, I'm always willing to share information. Danielle and I did Cloud9. We've done, our teams have scrimmaged together multiple times. So within state, it's always good to have a network.
Yeah. And she's actually in chat right now saying that she also shares intelligence, just very selectively. So
selectively.
I think that's really cool. Because it's not necessarily, I don't really view it as cheating, because really we're not on a professional level, right? This is really right. Is to help this. None of our coaches are, that I know of, full time high school esports directors and coaches. This is always, something we're doing like on the side. We have our regular, 7 to 3 or whatever our hours are. And then we do the esports thing, kind of after school. And sometimes you don't have time to do all this stuff. And yeah, we help each other out and throw each other a bone. And I was hoping you would say yes, but I did want to see how, if you guarded that information.
I'm willing to do it. I just not totally confident how useful my information is to other people. So
awesome. Well, cool. That is going to do it for us for season 2, episode 5 of Riff Happens. I do want to thank everybody for tuning in. Special thanks to Warren for joining us for this episode. Warren, I hope to have you back. Are you looking to come anytime back in the future?
Yeah, I can do that. My Rocket League team practices on Monday, so I'm here anyway, and they're doing Cloud9, so I'm available.
Sweet. So, and let this be an open call to any of the coaches in our community. Like, we have the room here to have you on and talk about your program and how you do things. And just, again, we're looking to promote this and be a help to any coaches in our community and just share your experience. And, you may have a story about how your program got started or what you're doing with your program that's going to really resonate with another coach in our community and just be an encouragement to them. So for Coach Warren out of Kentucky, Justin, thank y'all so much for being here. We will see you next time.